Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
We are going to be talking today about a subject matter that is going to be the favorite of many of you, vino, wine. This is the liquid of the gods. There's been so many descriptions that have been given to wine throughout the centuries, and it's an age-old art that is as diversified as there are people that choose to make it. My guest today, Michael Higgins, has put together, I have to tell you, one of the most extraordinary books I've ever seen on wine, but he has specifically oriented it towards a particular country, Argentina. And I will tell you, I got such an education about this country that I had no clue about. It's exciting. It is wonderful. We're going to explore wine regions and more. Michael Higgins, welcome to the show.
Well, good. Hello, Donna. Nice to be here.
Michael, this book is amazing, but I want my audience to know about you. You had 13 weeks that you spent, actually probably more, going through areas of Argentina to wineries that you wonder how in the world people even were able to build in these remote areas, number one. Number two, the sophistication of the systems for developing wine. And number three, the incredible photography, the beauty, the introduction to the various aspects of this wonderful, wonderful country. Wow. I mean, what in the world made you decide on Argentina? What is it that made this country so intriguing to you that you said, I'm going to pack a bag and just hoof it through it?
Wow, great question. Malbec. Malbec is the answer.
Malbec.
Have you tasted a Malbec?
No, I haven't. You're going to have to educate me and my audience. What is a Malbec?
So Malbec is a grape. It's originally from France. It's one of the five Bordeaux varietals. And this grape not only lives in Argentina, it thrives in Argentina, and it's what's made Argentina famous in the wine industry. It has made that country grow to be the fifth largest wine region in the world behind the United States. And so I'm here in Los Angeles drinking Malbec, going to restaurants and trying a Malbec here and a Malbec there, and I realized that I had never met a Malbec I didn't like. And that became the reason to go to Argentina, to find out why I had never met a Malbec I didn't like. And then fell in love with the country.
Wow, I could understand why. I mean, the photography. Now, you are a professional photographer.
I am.
Have been involved in the travel industry, the complimentary food industry, and also wine. So, and you're involved with TripAdvisor. You work with people all the time. I was, quite frankly, I was just blown away with the information that you bring out in this book. This is something where if someone just reads the book, it's like you want to buy a ticket. Let's go to Argentina next week. Thank you very much.
I'm with you.
Oh, my word. It
I
is.
I can't wait to go back.
This is incredible. When I was going through it, I was so intrigued with the big role that the Italians played in Argentina. Now, you've got to tell us, how in the world did the Italians end up in Argentina?
You know, the immigrants to Argentina are Italian and Spanish.
Amazing.
And many people there speak both languages and English, trilingual. And the Italians, maybe more interested in wine, ended up in the wine regions more than the Spanish did.
Hmm.
And you'll find that many of these wineries, you know, the names on the doors are Italian names.
Well, I am just amazed.
The Spanish are there. The French are even showing up there. They realize that Argentina, the terroir in Argentina, is better for the Malbec grape than it is in Bordeaux.
While you were on this trip, you talked with a number of very, very specific specialists that are involved in the wine industry. The agronomists, if I'm not pronouncing any of this correctly, please correct me.
Agronomists,
thank you. And the winemakers, what's their title?
They're called enologists.
Enologist. The sommelier?
Yeah, the enologists are winemakers. An agronomist is a farmer with an advanced education.
And these winemakers, they're not just doing it by osmosis. They really are into the latest technology, the wineries, the way that they're structured, the way that the design. This takes a long time to bring together, but some of these wineries have come up in just really a relatively short period of time. On average, in this environment, when they bring the grapevines in, some of these grapevines are well over 100 years old. What is it that they have to be attentive to, because the different areas of Argentina where these various wineries are located, I'm stunned. Some of them are up in high elevations. You wouldn't think anything would grow.
You're right. Wow. So it's complicated.
That it is.
It is, and it's what makes the adventure a lot of fun. Because as you go around to different wineries, you're going to experience not only the difference in their landscape, but also the difference in the philosophies of the winemaker and the agronomist and how they're caring for the vineyards. And, you know, my book is basic, so the person who's just learning about wine can learn a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a travel guide, so I'm giving everybody the inside scoop on where to go and who to talk to and, you know, all the way down to phone numbers and email addresses.
It's amazing.
And yet, at the same time, I get very sophisticated at times.
Mm-hmm.
And you make me think about that with your question, because I was in a vineyard in Argentina, in Mendoza, in Valle de Uco, which is what I consider to be like the new frontier in Mendoza. They are digging trenches inside their vineyards between the rows, maybe 4 or 5 feet deep, because they want to see what's in that soil. They're digging in that dirt to see the rocks or the lack of rocks, the roots from the vineyards as to what they're doing under there. And one place I was at, they had dug over 500 of these trenches.
Hmm.
And what they're doing is they're running ribbons through the middle of their vineyards, because they realize that the grapes are going to taste different if you just walk 10 feet that way, because all of a sudden the rocks are gone.
Interesting.
And what tends to come with the rocks is the limestone.
Mm-hmm.
And the limestone is what the Malbec grape is in love with.
This is something that really is an eye-opener. In our generation, we're paying more attention, unlike previous generations, we're paying more attention to the reality of being alert to our environments. And what you've just brought up is that the roots wrap themselves around the rocks and they extract minerals from them.
Exactly.
And typically we think, let's remove the rocks so that we have just clear soil. But that's not necessarily the best thing. And it's that integrative interconnection in nature that embellishes different flavors that these various environments that you go to when they're growing the grapes have. And you mentioned something that I think was very significant, and that was each and every one of the wineries that you went to, each of these groupings of families and or individuals that had their own businesses, this is quite a special enterprise to them. And this isn't something they've started just to let go over to a large corporation. This is very personal to them. This is something that they look at going on for a long, long time, and that there is a lot to contend with. And I was so impressed with actually the very first story about the winery, Luján de Cuyo.
Luján de Cuyo, yeah.
De Cuyo, excuse me, thank you. The,
now, that's a region.
Okay, that's a region.
Mendoza.
All right, so there is Archival Ferrier, is that his name? That has the...
Archival Ferrer.
Ferrer, thank you.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not especially knowledgeable about...
Yeah, it takes time to learn all these...
yes, it's very sophisticated. But now, with his operation, everything is done pretty much by hand. This is a very personal environment. He's got the highest scoring wine in Argentina, and there's a picture of the women workers that are sorting out the grapes. And, you know, you look at this, and then you have some of these other wineries, and then Carmelo Patti, his is so small, you would think, gee, how can the guy make any money? That's American thinking, right? You got to have everything on a large scale.
Yeah.
But the truth is, he's so particular about his stuff, he doesn't even let it leave the winery unless he knows it's exactly what it's supposed to be.
And he does everything himself.
And that's mind-boggling.
He bottles the wine himself.
Whoa.
I mean, this is really hands-on from the beginning to the end.
Just amazing.
It's handcrafted in the ultimate sense.
It really is. So you know, you have these people, and then you have the families. You talk about some brothers that are in competition with each other. What I find so intriguing about this is how they have taken areas of land that you would not even be able to grow, I would say, a food crop on necessarily. Some regions there are in Argentina, but they grow fruit trees. But this is something where you couldn't grow wheat there, but yet the grapes just thrive. But you have to know how to do it.
Yeah. You know, that very poor soil is actually what the grapes want. It's the stress of the vines that cause them to produce amazing grapes. And the air is so pristine, clean.
Mm-hmm.
And the water, they have year-round water coming from the Andes Mountains. All the wine regions in Argentina are on the western edge of the country, up against the mountains. And so, you know, those mountains have snow in the middle of the summer. So there's constantly water coming out of those rivers to feed the plants and the people. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's the reason that area exists is because of the Andes and the water.
You've got a picture of yourself digging in soil in Altamira, and you were mentioning this, these furrows that are being dug. And in that section on the wineries, I was fascinated with information on the concrete units that the wine is stored in rather than steel. And there were terms, micro-oxygenation, limpidity, troconical vats. These are things I have never seen or heard of before. Maybe my audience is well-versed in it. But this is something that is a whole different world to me, and I would think most people going into this. This is in Mendoza, the area of Mendoza. But this... Tell us about why concrete vats are used instead of the steel.
The Argentines are very sophisticated and inventive. And a lot of what's occurred here with the concrete is both that sophistication and inventing. When wine goes into those steel vats, you know, it's fermenting and it's aging. And then there's also wood, the oak barrels that we see that the wine is aged in.
Mm-hmm.
And oak is porous. just like concrete. And so when the wine is in there, it's got that porous nature that is creating the aging process. The same thing is true with the concrete, but there's two very different directions to go with concrete, because some people build these concrete vats and they put epoxy on the inside to seal it so it's not porous. So it's functioning very much like the stainless steel, where stainless steel is not porous either.
Mm-hmm.
And then others are using concrete where it's raw concrete, and that concrete, you know, has the porous nature, just like the wood does, to allow for this aging process. And then they're also experimenting with the shapes of these concrete vats, because they're learning that the shape makes a big difference in how the wine sits in there.
Fascinating. Well, when you
it's
look,
so fascinating.
It really is. When you look at the oak barrels, that's been done for centuries, using woods, various woods to get certain flavors with wine, and they're left alone. You don't disturb them. You let them rest, and they have their own special fermentation process they go through. The first thing that popped into my mind with concrete, of course, I live up here in the Pacific Northwest, and concrete on the driveway usually ends up being covered with mold or fungus or algae. You know, we have all kinds of wonderful living creatures that decide to take habitat on your concrete. And when I think of wine, which is a living substance, it really is a living substance.
It is very much living.
So when you put that in concrete, and concrete being so porous, my first thought is, how in the world do you keep it clean? But apparently Sebastian Zuccardi has figured something out, and he's never had a problem with what you would call aggravating substances that would get into the wine. I find this so interesting.
Well, the environment there is maybe best described as the opposite of what you're describing there in Washington. It's exceedingly dry. It's a desert. And so you don't have these molds occurring. And I've noticed that these winemakers are absolutely meticulous about cleanliness anyways. They're constantly washing everything, not just the bare... the outside, the floors, the
mm-hmm.
walls. Everything is so meticulously clean. And same thing in the vineyard. Without that moisture that you see around, you know, Washington, or even if you're in Bordeaux in France, you know, it's a much moister environment. That's why France has such a problem with diseases. And even trying to keep the Malbec vines alive in France is a very challenging thing for the French to do. But in Argentina, it thrives, and it thrives in this desert environment with the poor soil, with the fresh air and the snow-melt water.
I also was extraordinarily intrigued with a concept about how certain wineries, and this had to do with the private vineyard estates in Valle de Uco. Again, correct me if I'm wrong in how I pronounce
Valle
things.
Valle de Uco?
Yes. This,
which means the Uco Valley. Valle
yes.
is valley.
But people can buy an acre. It's $85,000 an acre. But what you get is the whole process. People can go and develop a winery in Argentina, if they want to, on 1 acre of land. And wonderful things are occurring there. This is an incredible accomplishment. And this is near the Andes, which so many of these are located near the Andes. And this grouping of people, it's about 130 vineyard owners growing 18 different types of grapes, 230
yeah.
different types of wines, right in this one area. What an incredible business concept.
Isn't that a great concept?
Wow. That's amazing.
Not only do you get your acre, you get to choose what you want to have planted on the acre. And you can be as hands-on or as hands-off as you want, because in that price, they're going to plant the acre for you. They're going to manage the vineyard for you. You live somewhere else in the world. You can't be there. Well, they're there, and there's a winery on the property that everybody uses, or they do it for you, depending on what you want.
Now, this has to be very supportive economy for many of the locals. And I ask you a question. Before we came on the show, I said, where do they get their electricity from? Because in the photographs that I see of these massive vineyards, thousands of acres, hundreds of acres of vineyards, I look at this and I didn't see one wire above ground in your photography. And I wondered, are they using solar? How are they getting their electricity?
I'm going to get the answer for you, because it didn't dawn on me. I mean, I know where they get their water, but I don't know where they get their electricity. I've never seen a power plant. I don't know. But you will get an answer.
Thank you. Thank
you. Of course.
That just intrigued me. And
There's
the artistry. You go into so many of the different cultural aspects of Argentina, the tango, the very music, the restaurants you cover.
The food is amazing there.
But also, you go into the wildlife, and the people of Argentina are very supportive of the animals that live in the environments where they have these wineries. They are about being interactive and not only having organic situations that are going to be beneficial for the land as well as for that which they are producing, but also for the creatures that are around them. This is a harmonic that has taken first positioning on stage, and this is marvelous. This is really great, and you have an absolutely incredible photograph. I think it's the chimango. The bird, its wingspan is incredible. It's not as big as the condor,
yeah.
But it is absolutely beautiful. And you just caught it with its wings spread. And
it was flying for me.
Yes, it was. It was flying for you. And as the avid photographer you are, you managed to capture it. But you talk about so many of the other creatures that are in the mountainous areas. And, of course, the Andes, they're rugged. This is not
very
an easygoing.
Lots of animals.
Yes, this is not an easygoing environment. So it dispels a lot of what I think is so often promoted in tourist movies, et cetera, about how primitive everything is. Well, there may be an aspect of that. We can find that here, even in the United States. But the thing is, the Argentinian people really are very sophisticated. I looked
very
at the photographs of the cities. They're very clean.
It's a wonderful place to go. I mean, I've been there for 13 weeks, and I can't wait to do more.
Mm-mm.
The food is amazing. The culture, the people are so loving. It's just a wonderful, wonderful environment.
Well, I was impressed also with the fact that there was a period when the wineries were having challenges, so they decided to grow fruit. And because of the environment the fruit is grown in, the skin of the fruit is unblemished, typically. You know, you brought out the point of France having problems with things we would have problems with here in Western Washington in growing grapes, and that's algae and fungus and all of these various things because of the dampness in our environment. On the eastern side of the mountains, that is much drier. So the wineries over there just really enjoy a whole different environment. But the wine industry itself is huge, absolutely huge. And there is such a love of the Argentinian wineries, the people running them. But I'm in awe of what they construct. I am in awe of how very sophisticated they are, and they are always educating themselves. This is absolutely first and foremost with them. They always are challenging themselves in this industry that you would maybe say to someone, why in the world are you going to want to do this? You've got thousands of these wineries. You've got so much competition. But they do it because it's something that's inside of them, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, you talk about that fruit, and I was thinking about that. That's actually in the Patagonia wine regions. In my book, I cover the top three wine regions, Mendoza, which is 80% of the wine. The second wine region is Salta, and that's to the north, very high elevation. 6,000-8,000-foot elevation. Some of the grapes are growing at 10,000 feet. They're the highest in the world.
My goodness.
And in the south of the country is Patagonia. And there are two wine regions in Patagonia, and one of them is where you're talking about all the fruit, like the pears. They provide the pears for Costco that we have here in the United States.
Really?
One provider.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
And they are unblemished. They're beautiful pears, and they just grow in that environment. And that environment creates a better skin on the pear, but it also creates a better skin on the grape. So the skin in the grape is where the color and the flavor and the tannins come from, and they have this just beautiful environment. But think of the Patagonia being cooler. That's an environment that's really conducive to Pinot Noir. And some of the most amazing Pinot Noirs come out of Patagonia. And then if you go to the north, where we were talking about that, that's called Salta. And they have their own very special grape up there, which is called Torrontés. And it's a white grape. And I'm really a red wine drinker, and I love the Malbec because it's big and bold like a Cabernet, but fruity like a Pinot Noir.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to this Torrontés, it's nicknamed the liar. And it is because when you bring it up to your face and you're smelling the bouquet coming out of the glass, it smells like flowers. It's just so beautiful, just floral. And then when you taste it, it's just the opposite. It's like grapefruit.
Hmm.
And so it surprises you because you're expecting this sweet wine when it really isn't sweet at all. But it's beautiful flavors, and it pairs with foods that are just different than what we're used to, like sushi. You know, it's hard to pair a wine with sushi.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this Torrontés is really good for that.
Amazing. This is really great. And you have an absolutely incredible photograph. I think it's the Chimango. The bird, its wingspan is incredible. It's not as big as the condor,
yeah.
But it
beautiful.
Is absolutely beautiful. And you just caught it with its wings spread. And
it was flying for me.
Yes, it was. It was flying
yeah.
for you. And as the avid photographer you are, you managed to capture it. But you talk about so many of the other creatures that are in the mountainous areas. And, of course, the Andes, they're rugged. This is not
very
an easygoing.
Rugged. Lots of animals.
Yes, this is not an easygoing environment. So it dispels a lot of what I think is so often promoted in touristing movies, et cetera, about how primitive everything is. Well, there may be an aspect of that. We can find that here, even in the United States. But the thing is, the Argentinian people really are very sophisticated. I looked
very
at the photographs of the cities. They're very clean.
It's a wonderful place to go. I mean, I've been there for 13 weeks, and I can't wait to do more.
Mm-mm.
The food is amazing. The culture, the people are so loving. It's just a wonderful, wonderful environment.
Well, I was impressed also with the fact that there was a period when the wineries were having challenges, so they decided to grow fruit. And because of the environment the fruit is grown in, the skin of the fruit is unblemished, typically. You know, you brought out the point of France having problems with things we would have problems with here in Western Washington in growing grapes, and that's algae and fungus and all of these various things because of the dampness in our environment. On the eastern side of the mountains, that is much drier. So the wineries over there just really enjoy a whole different environment. But the wine industry itself is huge, absolutely huge. And there is such a love of the Argentinian the wineries, the people running them. But I'm in awe of what they construct. I am in awe of how very sophisticated they are, and they are always educating themselves. This is absolutely first and foremost with them. They always are challenging themselves in this industry that you would maybe say to someone, why in the world are you going to want to do this? You've got thousands of these wineries. You've got so much competition. But they do it because it's something that's inside of them, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, you talk about that fruit. And I was thinking about that. That's actually in the Patagonia wine regions. In my book, I cover the top three wine regions. Mendoza, which is 80% of the wine. The second wine region is Salta, and that's to the north, very high elevation, 6,000-8,000-foot elevation. Some of the grapes are growing at 10,000 feet. They're the highest in the world.
My goodness.
And in the south of the country is Patagonia, and there are two wine regions in Patagonia, and one of them is where you're talking about all the fruit, like the pears, they provide the pears for Costco that we have here in the United States.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
And they are unblemished. They're beautiful pears, and they just grow in that environment. And that environment creates a better skin on the pear, but it also creates a better skin on the grape. So the skin in the grape is where the color and the flavor and the tannins come from, and they have this just beautiful environment. But think of the Patagonia being cooler. That's an environment that's really conducive to Pinot Noir. And some of the most amazing Pinot Noirs come out of Patagonia. And then if you go to the north, where we were talking about that, that's called Salta. And they have their own very special grape up there, which is called Torrontés. And it's a white grape. And I'm really a red wine drinker, and I love the Malbec because it's big and bold like a Cabernet, but fruity like a Pinot Noir.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to this Torrontés, it's nicknamed the liar. And it is because when you bring it up to your face and you're smelling the bouquet coming out of the glass, it smells like flowers. It's just so beautiful, just floral. And then when you taste it, it's just the opposite. It's like grapefruit.
Hmm.
And so it surprises you because you're expecting this sweet wine when it really isn't sweet at all. But it's beautiful flavors, and it pairs with foods that are just different than what we're used to, like sushi. You know, it's hard to pair a wine with sushi.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this Torrontés is really good for that.
Amazing.
And that environment up there, when you see the photographs, they're in my book, and I think I counted them up the other day. There's 565 color photographs in the book.
Amazing. It's a feast for the eyes. It really is.
Well, thank you.
It is
and
a
that,
feast
that
for the eyes.
That area of Salta, you feel like you're in another planet because the environment is so different.
Boy, that's
the
truth.
How do they get the electricity out there? How do they even get people out there? Some of that stuff is in the middle of absolutely nowhere.
That is the truth, including a phenomenal museum. But I was amazed to find out that the largest carnivore was recently discovered there.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a photo of that, and oh, my goodness. This country, Argentina, the information about the netting that is put over the grapes, where this is done in many different vineyards around the world. And what is happening is that you have hail that hits these vineyards in Argentina. So there's that. There's so much in this magnificent, but like I said, it's a feast for the eyes, and it gives you a whole different perspective about Argentina. There's more than just gauchos and beef there. There is an incredible cultural history, an amazing business of the wine regions throughout Argentina. And Michael Higgins, this is, oh, my goodness, we've got the holidays coming up. This would make an amazing gift for someone who, let's say they are a wine connoisseur, and you'd say, okay, great, I wonder what I get this person. This is what you want. And if you want to educate...
It is the perfect gift, isn't it?
It is. It is just incredible. Now, people...
And you know what? For $35, which is what it sells for, when you give the gift to somebody, it looks like it's worth 2 to 3 times that price.
Oh, easily.
So beautiful.
It really, really is. I was just, wow. I went through it, and I was reading it, and I went, oh, my goodness, I didn't know this, I didn't know that. It's wonderful to know about different environments in the world and what they're doing. Now, people can find out more about this book and other aspects of knowledge that you have with your extensive traveling and photographic experience. ExploringWineRegions.com is Michael Higgins' website. And he's in the process of really updating it. So if you go in and you look at his website today, and then you go in maybe in a couple of weeks, you're going to find a lot of good stuff added. So maybe make it one of your favorites. If wine is something that you delight in exploring, well, it's more than just a liquid to drink. There's a lot of substance that goes in behind it. Michael Higgins, thank you so much for being my guest today. This was a delight.
Well, you're welcome. I've enjoyed sharing with you and talking about all this stuff that I love.
Good. Well, like, it shows. And the photography.
Well, I'll see you in Argentina, I hope, one day.
Who knows?
I'm ready to go back.
Oh, I can believe it. I can believe it.
Now you've got the book.
Yes, I have. And I know all about all this good stuff. I can appear to be extraordinarily knowledgeable with five.
Well, thank you for having me on your show and talking about all this great stuff.
You are welcome. It's been a delight. Michael Higgins, I wish you the best. Argentina. Exploring Wine Regions. Check out exploringwineregions.com. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Donna Sebo Show.